She acts, she writes, she paints. She's an amazing actress. Jenny Gabriel is next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
So my baby comes home. You're doing a movie about Be My Baby, and you've done some other
Life
things.
Movie, yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah,
I thought,
I've done some other things.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, I thought I'd play songs until my baby comes home, like maybe literal. Yeah. Welcome to Spotlight On. I'm James Lott Jr., your host here on AfterBuzz TV, and we put the spotlight on someone who works in the industry as an actor and actress. And this actor, I should say actor,
it could happen. You know, I could Linda Hunt this thing. I could do it. I could get an Academy Award. I could go for it.
Linda Hunt.
Hello, James.
Also, Jay Davidson.
Davidson?
Who did a Crying Game.
Right.
Who was nominated for, it all came out.
Who's the one on Orange is the New Black?
Oh my God, Laverne Cox.
Yeah. But, like, if I was going for the... Yes. You know, I could, Linda Hunt. Right.
Isn't she CSI Los Angeles or something?
You know, I met her at a Starbucks once.
Did you?
I was like, I totally geeked out on her. I was like, oh my God.
I mean, a great actress. I mean, hello. I mean, she's around for a long time.
She's like, I'm getting coffee. It's way too early for that.
You guys, well, my guest here is, because I just love her. We were just talking already. You may know her for some of her reoccurring roles on In Plain Sight with Mary McCormick, which I love.
Yes, I love her. No, I'm in love with her. Do you know, she contacted my agent and was like, I liked your person's work, and I was like, I love you forever, Mary. I was like, can I be your personal stalker?
She was in a movie I just watched the other day called Right at Your Door. She plays the wife. It's this crazy, you guys, this crazy movie where dirty bombs
have
are dropped.
Have you seen her on the Chelsea Handler
show?
Oh my God. I want to hang out with both of them.
Oh, me too.
I want to have wine.
Oh,
I want to chat. Chat it out a lot.
She's also had a recurring role in Easy Money.
Yes.
Also, she was
crazy.
Or you may know her from the TV film Georgia O'Keefe.
Yes, with Jeremy Irons.
I know. So
with Joan Allen.
You work with some good people.
They had to fight for that, like, because, you know, I was kind of unknown at the time.
Yeah.
I played Dorothy Norman, who was a real person, which was really
must
cool.
Be a trip. We're going to talk about that, too.
We're going to talk about that.
And she has two upcoming projects. The Lifetime original movie, Be My Baby, and Sony Pictures' Only the Brave, which is coming out on October 20th. Jenny Gabriel.
Hello.
Hey, girl.
Hello.
You know, it's funny, because we're going to talk some of the things you've done. You've worked with some really amazing actors.
I know. It's really cool. And I do a lot of it out of New Mexico, actually.
Yeah, because you were born in Germany.
Yes.
But you were raised primarily in New Mexico from age 3.
Okay, so my parents are American.
Okay.
And my father wanted to study computer simulations.
Oh, wow.
And then we moved to Los Alamos when I was 3.
Okay.
And then he worked for...
The government.
The government. Yeah. No, he's a really smart guy. He worked in that's
wow. Well, you know, I like Albuquerque. I go there.
I'm in Santa Fe now.
You're in Santa Fe now?
Yeah.
I've never been there yet.
I love Albuquerque.
I like Albuquerque.
It goes back and forth. Sometimes I like Santa Fe. Yeah. Sometimes I like Albuquerque.
Yeah. What is it about New Mexico that feels like home?
Parking. There's a lot of parking everywhere. It's freaking awesome. I lived here for 7.5 years.
Okay.
And literally, like, you have to plan your days around parking.
You do?
I lived in Venice. Like, I had to park 10 blocks away on the weekend.
Oh, I know.
And then you try to find your car, and it's a blur, and then you're, like, having a breakdown. You're having a Shakespearean moment trying to find your damn car.
That's true.
And the sunsets. Sunsets are great.
Oh, wow. That's right. Yeah. Okay, so you're really based out of New Mexico these days.
A lot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of like a gypsy. Like, I'll just go where the work is.
Well, you know, that's an actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't actors nomadic? They're supposed to be gypsy-like.
Yeah,
you go where the part is.
Yeah,
you do the part.
No, definitely.
So wherever you live doesn't really matter so much as that you
make the hotel room your home.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, but New Mexico, the Southwest is just so nice. It's just
No, I love New Mexico.
And everything.
Yeah, there's like definitely spiritual. People are awesome.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history there. You know, they have like the conquistadors.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I had friends I grew up with and they can trace their family all the way back
oh,
to the
God.
Conquistadors.
Wow,
you know, there are like streets in Santa Fe that are named after conquistador families, and they can trace it all the way back. And the diaries from the conquistadors are still in the, I think it's like in the chapel in Santa Fe.
Wow,
it's pretty wild.
Wow, and Santa Fe is a pretty big city, isn't it?
No, not comparative.
Albuquerque bigger?
Yeah,
Albuquerque is very spread out. I know,
but that is, and it's not big either.
But I mean, say, you know, in terms of like, I mean, not like Los Angeles, but. They're probably smaller than Phoenix, but aren't they bigger than them? But bigger
yeah,
than
like
smaller.
Tucson, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, it's, okay. It's, there's a lot of landscape. There's a lot of hiking and everything. Yeah. And there's like a lot of cool tribes there as well.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You have the Hopi, the Navajo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some of the most advanced cultures.
I know, just like it. Yeah. And so how's that affected your work when you're an actress? Do you feel that you pull from sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you pull from everything. Mm-hmm. Like everything I've read, and I traveled a lot in Europe mm-hmm. and, you know, later.
Yeah.
And I think you find commonality with every part, and then you pull other things, like externals from the world around you.
Yeah. Does being in New Mexico keep you calm in this business? Does it help you?
Well, they're definitely not the same energy as in L.A. Like, mm-hmm. L.A. is, it's like a lot of networking, and,
yes.
you know, we can't network with people. They're like there for a month. So it's like, you know, what are we going to do?
Yes.
But it's great, you know, and also nobody knows about the industry really. So they're like, oh, you're a what?
What do you do? Like, what's going on? Now, when you were a kid, you went to, make sure I pronounce this correctly. Correct me if I say it wrong. Interlaken. I did say it right. Okay.
You did say it right.
Arts Academy.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a little girl from Los Alamos.
Yes.
My father's a Republican, but he's also an atheist, so it's like he's very iconoclastic.
Okay, yeah.
So I come from Los Alamos. I don't know anything, and I go to Interlaken, and it's like the 60s.
Wow.
I mean, like, we're running through the woods naked. We're taking pictures of each other. We're like all art freaks.
Right.
All of us were freaks at our various schools.
But now
we're
you're
just
together.
Like together.
Yes,
all
I love
the
it.
Kids.
Yeah, I love it.
Wonderful.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, like screaming poetry from the tops of mountains.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was so much fun.
That must be just amazing. I mean, you get to do stuff that's super, super hyper creative.
It was super awesome, but then it's such a downfall. It's like coming out of that was then like the 80s in my life. Like, I'm like, what happened to the art? What happened? Like, I can literally listen to hippie music and be like, I relate.
Yeah,
I relate. Yeah. I feel that.
Wow.
Like, I was like in a utopia, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And so what are some of the things that it taught you as you came out of it?
I guess I really wish that we would teach more of the business of art in arts education.
Oh, yes.
But I do think that we need to teach art and invest in art a lot more because the robots are taking our jobs, and that's pretty much all we can do better than them. So
I love that
we
answer.
Should get the arts going.
Well, you know, I always say that art is just as important to our culture as is politics and law and health.
But I think, like, even more everything. When you look at how much, like, you know, AI and robotics engineering is taking over almost all the manufacturing jobs. They used to have textile mills where there were 4,000 people. Now there's 4 people running them.
Right.
What are those people going to do?
Right.
Lay on a beach somewhere?
Right.
Now, how are they going to feed their family?
Right.
And FDR, he had a really strong incentive for artists. He would... A lot of the George O'Keefe, Alfred Stieglitz stuff came out of the FDR arts thing.
Art is so important.
Yeah.
It just is. Like, I paint also and I write. And also, I just think it's just so you get to express yourself in just various ways that can be helpful and affect change.
And people need to endeavor. You know, like, there are some people that are like, you know, really amazing scientists and really great engineers.
Oh, yeah.
But the rest of us, like, what are we going to do? All we can really do is express ourselves, really.
Which contributes to society.
Yeah. It contributes to society. It contributes to a bigger dialogue. It contributes to us not alienating people because they don't fit in. Because we see a larger expression of human experience. And then we're stronger. Because we're stronger through diversity.
Yes.
And that's like what makes us
great. I know. I love art. I've always loved art. And then you studied with Eric Morris.
Yeah.
So tell me about it, because he had a certain method. He was born out of a Lee
Strasberg.
Yeah. So what was that like?
Oh my God. He's awesome.
Okay.
He's hard.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really challenging and amazing. He strips you down to your like bones.
Wow.
And then you have to walk around like that.
Thanks
a lot. Did I pay for this?
You're like, did I really get to sign up for this? So,
Yeah. And then I also study with Jimmy Whittle, who does like Meisner stuff. So that was really good too, because then it's like, it's the interaction, you know? So that was really helpful as well.
Being kind of stripped down, I mean, it's in just a metaphorical sense, right? Being stripped down, does that open you up to be a better actor though? Because.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, everybody has... I think there are different methods of acting as much as there are different personalities.
Yeah.
And you have to find what works for you. For myself, I really am in this to experience different realities.
Okay.
And different personalities and, like, walk a mile in someone's shoes.
Okay.
So like that's what I get out of it. Yeah. So for me, it's like, yeah, it's good to strip down some of the things that you've accumulated. Mm-hmm. But it's also good, you know, to kind of see what it's like to walk around in your own skin and express that too, yeah. which is like why I'm doing this interview.
You're in your own skin. You're a present in your own skin right
I
now.
I am in my own skin.
I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you.
But it's because you're doing these different methods. So you're picking up and learning different methods. You're learning different techniques.
Yes.
You're expressing your art in the middle of it. So I'm sure you're probably a really present actress though now at this point because you're ready to experience whatever's
happening. Well, you know what's so amazing is like, you know, it's a group sport. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, like, I do feel like I'm very present, but it's nice. Like, sometimes you feel like you're throwing a ball at a wall. And sometimes you feel like someone's catching it and they're throwing it back at you.
Yeah.
And that's really like, as we were talking about Only the Brave, mm-hmm. I really felt like the cast was just throwing balls back all the time. Not like that. But it was really awesome. I mean, you had people that were really there to play with you.
Yeah.
So it was really cool.
You mentioned maybe just about your upbringing, your parent, your father especially. Yes. So how did that help inform as you're learning these different techniques, going to Interlaken, you're doing Eric Morris. How did that kind of, you start to see him differently?
Well, so when I went to Interlaken, I came back as a freaking hippie. So I came, and he's terrified of that because his brother went through a really hard time with all that stuff. And, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I came off the plane. I have like John Lennon glasses on, long stringy hair, and I'm like, "Hey, man!" And he's like, "Art killed my daughter." So yeah, we had a hard time of it, but we're good now. Yeah, took a while.
I love that. It's so funny. So I have a couple of pictures I'm going to show. I just want to see your thoughts on these.
Oh, yes.
They're funny because these are some of the products you have done.
Yes. So that was the Scorched Trials. I played Ponytail.
Ponytail.
And you'll notice that the best part of my performance was my awesome hair.
I was like, I love the hair. I love the hair. And the nail and the ring on your hand. Come on, girl.
Oh, yeah. No, it was all hair, makeup, costume. It was like, forget about it. I don't even need to know acting to do this shit. It was amazing. And those kids were awesome. Good. Awesome. Oh my gosh. So this is Force of Execution.
And that's Danny Trejo, isn't it?
Okay, so Danny Trejo played like my father figure in that movie. Yeah. He is the coolest guy ever. Have you met him?
No.
Do you know what he does?
He has taco stands everywhere in LA.
Oh no. Okay, maybe. And I gotta try this.
Yes,
they're probably awesome. But get this. Yeah. Everywhere he goes, every location that he's filming at, he meets with kids that are thinking about dropping out of high school and he talks to them.
Oh my God.
Like he's hooked up with this thing. And he'll talk to people and he'll go to high schools. And this is while he's filming, 16-hour days.
Wow.
He's exhausted, but he does that. Wow. He is like one of the most ethical, amazing people I know. Like, he is awesome. And he's the funniest guy, too. In the makeup trailer, he'll come in and be like, I'm good. Like, he won't even sit down. He'll be like, I'm good. And he is.
Yeah.
And he looks great. Like, you know.
So, but it's funny. I've heard only nice things about him. I've heard he's amazing
things
about
so
him.
He's so nice.
I've not met him yet. I feel like we're in the same
circle. Oh, you've
got to
meet him. Just interview him.
I know. I'd love to.
Oh, my God.
He's like an icon these days. Now, people just know him.
He's such an icon. But he's still really relatable and down to earth. Like, he'll never get over that. Like,
I believe it.
Yeah.
Now, you did, in Plain Sight's a show I do know, you played Rachel Miller, and you did 3 episodes.
Yes.
So you got to work with Mary McCormick. We talked this before the show.
You know what? I didn't work with her.
So you didn't work with her directly?
No. Awesome. I just, like, all my scenes were, like, not with her, but she was, like, so amazing and gracious on the set.
She was good.
I fell in love with her. I got a girl crush on her. Mad girl crush. Wow.
Yes. How was it playing that role on there, Rachel Miller on that role?
Oh, wow. It was great. I mean, it was like a crack addict, so I didn't have to like bathe or anything. I could just roll out of bed, come to work. Like, it was so great.
So what was it like doing episodic TV? Because, you know, you do movies with a whole different pacing.
Yes.
So episodic TV, you have to get up early in the morning and go to, your call times were different. How was that?
You know what, though? But like, so usually I'm playing smaller roles. You know, on this Be My Baby, I'm actually have a leading role, which is great. But I'm usually up early because that's what happens, you know, like when you're – I'm good. 5 in the morning, I'm
good.
And I'm an early riser anyway.
Me too.
Are you really?
Yeah. I used to be a night owl.
But it's hard in LA. Nothing opens till 10.
I know they don't.
It's crazy.
But it's nice and quiet sometimes. I have a garden.
But how do you eat? It's like freaking, it's like an emergency zone. You know, it's like, it's awful. It's like, what are we going to do now? You know?
But I like the quiet of the morning.
Yeah. Where do you live?
I live in Inglewood. I live South LA by the airport.
Nice.
By the beach. I love it over there. It's quiet.
The beach. Yeah.
I love it. We have the marine layer, they call it. Of course, you know that for Venice.
Yeah.
The marine layer's there, and it's not really hot yet. It's quiet.
That's so beautiful.
I love it.
Yeah.
But
I don't drink coffee, though.
I don't drink coffee anymore. I gave up coffee a few years ago.
Did you?
I know.
You're strong.
I admit that.
I gave up Diet Mountain Dew.
That's good. Mountain Dew's worse than coffee.
But that's like superhero juice. Like you do that and you're good. I'm alive. It's like that. And it looks like that. It looks like you've just gotten hooked up to Dr. Strange. You're ready to go. Kill a bad guy. You know?
I think I'm proud of you for that because Mountain Dew is like, it is like crack.
It is like crack. It looks like crack. It feels like life. I don't know. But I gave it up. So
that's proud. So yeah, no, it took me. I crave coffee occasionally once in a while, but I haven't had it.
It's not that great. It's okay.
It tastes great.
I mean, I have to do it every morning.
Coffee is good. I love it. But also, you did Easy Money. You played four episodes. You had to work with Lori Metcalf. Did you work with her?
Did I work with her? No, I met her on the set. I loved her.
Yeah, I love her.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, she's really down to earth. I mean, I gotta say, like, most people are just, like, the most down to earth, awesome people.
Yeah.
She was really wonderful. You know, she loves theater.
Yes, she's a very theater person.
I can't wait to get back to the stage. You know, she's one of those.
And you played Madison. So you did that. So how was playing that role? Was it playing that one?
That was interesting. It was like a debutante, you know, and it was really like, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
I think I would play it differently now.
Oh, no wonder why you say that. You have more experience now.
Well, so now I was like thinking I would watch more film noir heroines and play it more with some more humor. At the time I was like, I'm really getting into this.
I have a serious debutante.
Right?
Right.
Right.
There are just some parts
that you're just like, nah. It's not that serious.
But it's kind of cool, though, that you can recognize that now because you've grown as an actress and you've had experiences and then you can go, I did that back then, but now I know if I my new experience now.
Do you find, like, life sometimes, you'll have the experience that you had in the film and you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's no. It's totally different.
Yes, completely. You know? Completely. So I think it's kind of cool that you can look back and go, yeah, I'd do it differently if I did that now.
Yeah.
And if that role comes up again somehow, you could play it differently now.
Totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I would.
Now, how hard was it playing a person who had been alive in real life? It's when you did George O'Keefe.
Wow, it was amazing. So Bob Balaban, the director, was awesome.
Yes.
I love him.
He's been around for a long time, too.
Yeah, and he has a real, like, circus vibe. Like, it's like, we are actors together, which reminded me of Interlock. And I was like, yes, we are. Let's run through the woods. You know?
Let's run to the woods.
So it was really fun. But Dorothy Norman was an amazing human being.
She's like a free spirit, wasn't she?
She was a total free spirit. And she also brought Krishnamurti to the U.S. And she did a lot of things really progressive socially. And she was just like a really powerful force. Like she was like, I'm not just going to sit on my butt. I'm going to do something. I'm going to get involved. Yeah. She was really a powerful woman. So it's kind of intimidating, you know, because it's like, wow.
And so did you feel playing a part that's not, I mean, it's just been written and made up versus a lot real life
person.
Which
is Only the Brave, I did Desiree Steed.
Yeah, another real life person.
That was actually even more intimidating because Dorothy Norman was like historically this amazing woman.
Okay.
But Desiree Steed, I was watching her footage. I haven't met her yet.
Okay.
And I was blown away. Like she had such nobility and stoicism.
Yeah.
I was just blown away.
So you're like, I gotta play that. Like, I mean, you want to be true to her, of course.
Yeah.
Same with Dorothy. You want to be true to both.
But it's hard
of them.
When you're watching a person
and you're
like, I love you. Like, I think you're brilliant. I just want to, you know, cry and like honor you somehow.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you don't know if you're worthy for that. But you're just like, okay, I gotta do this thing.
They hired me, so
they hired me.
I'm gonna get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was just so. Yeah. She really has this inner strength. And it was interesting because James Badge Dale, who plays Jesse Steed, who plays my husband, he met her. And he was blown away by her inner strength as well. And so he was like, okay, we got to write this other scene. We've got to expand her part a little. Because, you know, these men, they go off and they do these amazingly heroic things with very little sort of, without fame or glory or any of that. They just do it.
Yeah.
It's like a total
sacrifice. So let's just stop there. We're going to show a clip there. We're going to show part of the trailer. And you'll see her in the beginning of the trailer, towards the beginning of the trailer. We're going to talk more about that so people get a chance.
I work as a blaze near Montana. In the blink of an eye, just fire everywhere. And then charging.
That's like amazing. I mean, I can't imagine that.
Comes this there.
It's beautiful. It is a beautiful.
Beautiful. And terrible thing.
You know, I drove through a forest fire once.
Did you really?
This was surreal.
Oh, you guys have some slots available?
You lost.
We got one slot open. You know what we're training for?
Hot shots get to engage the fire directly.
We're seeing Team 6 of firefighters.
Beautiful music.
If you give me a
chance, the music totally matches it.
Yeah, it's great. It's so beautiful.
Oh, the scenery.
Oh, yeah. That's New Mexico. That's
what I'm
training
for over 4 years. We got all our hours.
We got a lot of scenery.
Look at
a lot of buildings.
But look at that. Yeah. It's like beautiful.
Those boys were out there in the heat. Those actors were amazing.
Okay. Anyone do your John Wayne thing?
We need a big cast, too, which we'll talk about in a second.
Oh, yeah. There's just a huge cast. It's awesome.
There you are.
Yeah.
Bye. I mean, just amazing cinematography.
You're never going to be able to look out into the wilds.
It's epic, and you know the director.
Yes.
Oh, Charles, how do you pronounce it? Is this last name?
In the world, I don't know what is.
I couldn't, I was like, I...
I mean, you better be right.
I was going to try to pronounce it. I'm like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I just had a daughter.
Joe the Polish guy.
But it's just, I mean...
The fire gets past our line.
I've been in a fire before, so I know how terrifying it is to be a person in a fire. It's really scary.
You were in a fire?
Yeah, my house was on fire.
Really?
I woke up to a fire, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Saved my two cats and everything. It was crazy.
Is it really smoky?
Yes.
Like, because I've heard that it's always more smoky than they portray.
Yes, it's so smart. It was smoky.
Right, like, you can't see anything.
No.
Yeah, that's what I always find really interesting, is that in films, it's, like, not like that.
I had to get down 4 flights of stairs this month, so I know how it is.
Man.
I tell you now.
Prouder of his boys than I am of you guys.
Oh.
See, like it says, I mean, it's like, this is a true story, you guys.
Yeah.
And everybody's in. Okay, so we're talking Jennifer Connelly, Josh Brolin, Taylor Kitsch, Jeff Bridges, Miles Teller, James Mandale, and our girl right here.
Yes.
I mean, it's a huge cast.
Yeah.
That's in this. And
it was
it's a true
really
story.
Amazing. Andie MacDowell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah,
she
for her
is
too,
like
yeah.
one of the most... lovely people.
She isn't beautiful in person as we think she is.
Yeah, no, she is like unholy beautiful. It's like, did you make a pact with somebody?
Yeah, because I've seen her daughters and they're beautiful too. And I'm just thinking, but you've been around for a long time.
And no, she's so flawlessly gorgeous. God. And she's a really beautiful person too.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. So, I mean, so that was from New Mexico.
Yeah.
So basically, that was like in your backyard, so to speak.
It was, and it was crazy because we shot some of that stuff near Los Alamos. And I've also, I did the TV show Manhattan.
Oh, yes.
Which was also interesting because that was like the history of the atom bomb.
Yes.
And that wasn't, like they did a mock-up of Los Alamos at the time, and I grew up with all that stuff.
Wow.
So that was pretty wild. But this film was just, it was a real heart project.
Yeah.
And everybody felt really profoundly invested. And when you do something like that, it's like people... It's just, I don't know. We were so bonded.
Yeah.
And it was like just everybody was doing it for the right reasons. Nobody was on an ego trip. People were doing it because these people honestly like blew us away.
Yeah. They lived it.
With their humanity. Like really. And so we felt like we had to do them honor.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why it makes sense. I mean, it's just, I guess every once in a while you get a project that's like that where it really is not just about... The entertainment of it, and whatever, it's like you're telling a story.
Yeah.
That's really important.
It's also, a lot of times in this industry, you'll read something and you'll be like, do I need to do this? Like, for my career, I don't definitely need to do this.
Right,
But is this important for the world? And this was like, yeah, this is important. This is like, there's tons of people that do these jobs.
God, all the time.
Put their life on the line.
They do.
And they're invisible. Nobody even recognizes them or acknowledges them, and they're heroes. They're better than Marvel superheroes.
I'll tell you something. I used to get annoyed sometimes when you're driving and obviously trying to get somewhere, and all of a sudden you have to pull over because of fire trucks are going through.
Yeah.
Now I haven't been in a fire. I'm just like, thank you.
Right.
They were at my the fire was happening in my house as they were still arriving. Like they were that fast.
It's interesting that it takes like a major tragedy for us to like acknowledge like 9/11,
yes.
for us to acknowledge firefighters.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And these people that sacrificed their lives, and it's just awesome to be a part of that, because I do think they deserve a lot more. I mean, in this culture.
Yeah. I will say that to everybody out there, 9/11, that's a good point for today, to all the families, including mine, who lost somebody in 9/11. So.
Exactly.
And all the firefighters and policemen who went in, who just go in. That's their job.
Yeah.
Have a job where
Can you
know.
Can you imagine?
No.
Like, you're like,
that's my job.
Do I want to face death today?
Right. And they do. It's amazing for a person who has that kind of.
And a lot of those guys are like, they're Marines.
Yeah.
And then they become firefighters. And then they're like, they're just going out there. Mm-hmm. And it's wild.
I know. It's an interesting mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And the women that are in their lives.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, then you have to take care of the kid and act like everything's okay for them.
Right.
That's an amazing strength.
Yes.
That I find really, really powerful.
So you found that out playing this role, obviously.
Yeah. I mean,
she's
definitely
of.
Yeah, it was great to play a character that's like stronger than you and more graceful than you are. And you're like, wow, let's walk in that skin. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like, what resilient people they are. You know?
Right? Just like every day you're dealing with, you're saying goodbye to your husband, which could be goodbye.
Yeah.
But you have to live. You have to live your life somehow, too.
But also, you have kids.
You have kids.
So you got to be like, everything's great.
Right.
Dad's going to go do this thing.
And he'll be back later. You know, like.
And you got to be okay.
Oh, my God.
You know, and not just okay. You got to do, take care of those kids by yourself.
Right.
So it's like, and when it's fire season, they're gone almost all the time.
So, when it's fire season, they're gone, what, 4 or 5 months at a time or 3 or 4 months at a time?
It's like they're gone and they're out there and they'll come back and maybe sleep. But they don't. They can't deal with the day-to-day when they're, resting.
Yeah, that's true. So the spouse is still taking care of
the
household.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, right?
So I guess the spouses, those are the ones who, they're heroes too.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's what you learned basically doing this movie.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
It's crazy.
And then I'm like, go back to my life and I'm like, I should do something great. I should save the world somehow.
You're like, okay, I'll go to Starbucks to get coffee. What's going on today?
Yeah, have some green chilies. My life.
I love it.
So that's hard.
So that's October 20th. It's coming out. That's going to be great. Well, another project you have coming out, there's no date for it just yet, but you're joining the ranks of the Lifetime movie people.
Yes. You're doing Be My Baby. George O'Keefe was Lifetime, too.
Oh, this is
a little different.
That's what I'm saying.
This is a different Lifetime.
That, to me, is more of the Lifetime
we all know and love.
Yes. That was a movie that was on the Lifetime channel.
Yes.
This is actual.
Well, and my character is very, very bad.
Talk about that.
Oh,
you're bad.
I am.
It's good to be bad.
Well, I can't really, reveal.
Yes, of course.
But I do very bad things. Mm. And I kind of enjoy it. Like, with devilish glee. But I don't mean to, but I do. But it's great. It's like, think of it as Shakespeare, really.
So when
Lady Macbeth.
When you got this script, you're like, oh my God, yes, probably. Right?
Okay, so when I first got it, I'm like, oh my God, that woman is nuts. what a whack job. And then I'm like, okay, how can I make this fun? This woman is really off the rails.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, okay, this could be a blast. And the director was great, Farhad Mann.
Okay, yeah.
He was like, oh my God, we're going to make this Shakespeare. He did. He said, we're going to rock this out. This is going to be epic.
Oh my God.
We're going to turn this thing into something like really.
Wow.
He wanted to go all the way. He was like,
and you're the lead in the movie, aren't you?
I'm second.
Okay,
so
that's
it's
good.
Like, it's me and April Bowlby.
That's good. That's good,
and
though.
And she is, the problem with her is that she's lovely, and I had to hate her.
Aww.
But the good thing was we filmed in the freezing cold, so we both hated everything. So it was really better. Because we were just like, our eyes were like, I'm going to die.
And here's a good question for you. I'm thinking, just thinking as I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
If you get a character that's not likable, do you have to like that character to play it?
You have to justify that character.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people, they justify what they do. I think some characters don't even like themselves. So, if you're doing that, then you're going with that.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to find the joy. When you're doing when you're in pain, a lot of pains, some people enjoy being in a lot of pain.
Yeah, they do, right.
You know? So
that's
like,
true.
You can wallow in that, but find the part of that experience that is enjoying itself. Because a lot of people, they go through a lot of hell, but the people that are the most interesting, I think, are the people that are, even if it's awful, they're like enjoying it.
How funny. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
I mean, yeah. But it's very interesting. Like, people that get joy from things you would not get joy from.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And so then you have to kind of, you know, but it's fun because you get to let yourself experience that.
Sure, yes.
You know? And then you don't have to, you know, do it in your real life at all.
I hope not.
No.
I mean, that would be fun. But like I said, I got to play somebody. I'm in a Lifetime movie, too, I think, coming up.
Yes, yes. What is this Lifetime movie?
It's called A Second Chance. I think it's going to be Lifetime or Hallmark.
So what's your character in that?
I play James. I play a really bad host of a TV show called Dance or Bust.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have to be mean to the lead character. Like you, I knew the lead. I know the actress, Brittany Underwood. We have mutual friends.
Nice.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, I gotta be mean to you. I'm so sorry.
I know,
I was
it's
so
hard.
Mean. It's hard.
I had to like beat her up a couple times, and I'm like, you're so beautiful.
Yes,
she's like a freaking fairy. She is. She just walks around like a fairy all the time. And you're like, I love fairies. This feels really bad.
So you said, I was like, no, you're right, because I had to tell before the season, I'm like, okay, girl, you know I love you. And, like,
right.
Like, and she's like, oh, I know. She started laughing. She's like, oh, I know. So I had to be really mean.
Yeah. And then at the end, she's like, was that real? And you're like, yes.
All of it was real, girl. I meant every word.
I'm method, man. It's real.
So I do understand. So that was a lot of fun. So I'm glad you and I are joining the ranks of people who are in these movies.
Yes.
That's right. But they come out sometime. This season.
It just helps make life easier.
Yes.
Makes your lifetime easier.
Lifetime.
Just some popcorn.
I see what you did with that.
Yes.
What did you do with that? Yeah. Now, okay, now, one of the things that was interesting to me is that you are a writer and a painter.
Yeah.
The
painting is more ish now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's
how did you get started?
Well, so I would just find myself in places. Like when I was in Ireland, I needed to express a lot of stuff. I couldn't do my acting there because apparently I don't have a great Irish accent.
Oh.
Anyway, so I did a lot of painting, and then I put it up at a coffee shop there. And watched people look at it.
Wow.
And then when I was in Venice, I had a show at Abbott's Habit Coffee House.
Oh.
And I just painted a lot there. And then I was living with a lot of drag queens in Koreatown. And
how
then
funny
I did
is that?
A whole thing there, but no one saw it except my friends and my roommates and stuff. So
you have an interesting life. I like that.
Thanks.
You also drag queens in Koreatown.
Yeah, but it's a moment. Like, I'm not like a painter. I don't paint on a routine.
Okay.
It's just like something happens.
You express it that way.
And I express it that way.
Yeah.
And lately I've been doing a lot more with the writing.
So how's the writing coming?
Like
the writing?
Screenplays.
Oh, you're right. Oh, you're
so,
writing.
Yeah,
writing.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really obsessed with it, actually.
Because the structure of writing a screenplay is very different than writing books.
Yes, I can't do books. I really like the structure of a screenplay because it's so sparse with description. Mm-hmm. And it's just like getting the image and then doing the dialogue. And it's hard after you write screenplays for me to write books because I just, what am I going to say about this couch? You know what I mean?
Interesting. Okay.
You know, it's all about that. And I find like a lot of times it's harder to fill that.
Yeah, I'm a book writer, so I have a hard time writing. I'm trying to write a screenplay.
You're a book writer?
Yes, I'm trying to write a screenplay.
So don't you think, I think that theater is like a book, like a novel.
Yes.
And then a film is like, in the way, the experience of the actor is like haiku. Because every scene, you're digging into one thing for like all day.
Yes.
And so that's like a poem.
That's very true.
Whereas like, you know, when you're doing a play, you're like, you're running, you're gunning, you're going through all these different
emotions.
That's
true, yes. That is true. It's like, much like a book.
Right.
It's back and forth, back and forth. There's always something going on.
I would say maybe a TV show is more like a novel because like they really dig in.
Yes.
And maybe a film is more like a short story.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
Because it's broken down that way.
Right. But also because of a film, you're like having like a moment.
Right.
Right.
They're trying to capture moments. You're right.
Right.
And then the director like strings it together.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
We're on a play, it's continuous.
Yeah, it's continuous. And I did, you know, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And I found like I love film because you can really just sink in.
Yeah. And get that emotion. And
yeah.
Get that moment out.
Yeah. And get that moment out and you can really just go deep in there for me. But I know, I mean, some people just love theater because it's yours. Like, if you kill that scene, everyone saw it. Like, it doesn't get edited out.
It's the instant gratification of everybody seeing it. And also my friends who love the challenge of making it new every night.
Yeah, that's exciting.
That's like, at least when you're doing, maybe saying the same words, but maybe you could do a little different walk this way or a different intimate.
But that's, yes. That happens in film too. Yeah, okay. But sometimes like they're like, no, 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 no. But, you know,
it's
exciting. Like when I was doing Only the Brave,
yeah.
You know, I worked with James Dale Badge, James Badge Dale.
I know, his three names.
Like, Badge. Anyway, he was awesome because yeah. He was like, well, he's a theater guy from New York, right?
Yes, that's
so
true.
He just like, he's in it and it's like he'll throw you, like he'll always make the scene alive.
Yeah.
He'll throw you something, do something.
So you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like everything. It's like it wakes it up. Yeah. Right away, which is amazing.
You're right. Because like I said, I had a scene partner and she was good too. We both were really good together.
Yeah.
Hi, Kelly. She was good. And so it's one of those things where, if they throw something at you, you go, oh, it re-energizes you a second. You go, oh, I'm going to try it this way too because I'm feeding off of them.
Yes. And also it just like, it just makes it, you are reacting in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like you don't even know.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun to work with someone like that.
You sound like you'd be fun to work with. You'd be really fun to work with.
Thank you.
I mean, you're like just like bright and bubbly and just like you're, and you like acting, don't you?
Is this
your calling, you think?
No, because I'm like, if somebody called me, they got the wrong number. No, because, no, I mean, I feel like I'm addicted to it, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, I like that choice. Okay.
Can't stop.
Okay.
You know, it's like I love it. I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I continue to do it. And I'm constantly challenged by it, and I think it's amazing. But I don't know if I believe in callings.
Okay.
Like, I kind of feel like, you know, you feel something.
You do it.
And you do it, or you don't. And if you don't feel it, then you don't do it anymore. But I still feel it, so I do it.
Do it for a long time. Don't go anywhere. Keep doing it.
Thank you.
But I'm very excited to see if any of your screenplays come to fruition and go out. Because
God,
nowadays,
I know.
It's all about creating your own work sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Except that, like, my major TV show that I wrote is about Christopher Marlowe as a spy and poet in Tudor England. And I don't think I'm done. I mean, that could be my Linda Hunt moment.
Yes.
That could be my... There was a lot of bisexuality in that time. And I could be a very feminine... Boy.
You could? I think you could. You were drag queens. You know what's going on.
Oh, no. I was not a drag queen.
You lived with those.
I did get dressed up as one, so that was pretty fun.
You were a drag king. No?
No. That's the thing. If I was dressed as a guy.
Okay, yeah, dressed as a guy. So you just dressed in drag.
Well, basically, I was a fun person to dress up.
It's like, you seem like a fun person. So I
Thank
can see
you.
That. I can see why. Because, you know, because in Hollywood, a lot of people always tell me, I interviewed a lot of actors.
Yeah.
It comes down to, can we work with you?
Yes.
Can we hang out with you on set all day long? You know, somebody just hurry up and wait.
A lot of downtime. Yeah.
Can we hang out with this person?
Yeah.
And be fine with that person.
Yeah.
Because you have tons of talent, and if you're not a nice person, they don't get hired.
No. Well, I mean, there is a lot of that. It's a lot more in L.A. because people get to know you by networking.
Yeah.
And then for me, it's like I do the audition, and they're kind of taking a risk on me. Like, they don't know how I'm on set.
Yeah.
You know, but I generally, like, I love everybody because I'm like, you're letting me act? I love you. So it's really great. And, I mean, the coolest. Like, you know, in New Mexico, we have some amazing people. Do amazing
That's
things
great.
Like the ponytail roll made me so awesome. That picture went everywhere because of the awesome hair.
Yes.
So, you know, that kind of thing.
I think you're great. I'm really excited to see what else you do and what's
Thank
coming
you.
Up. I'm going to see Only the Brave. And I want to see the Be My Babe because want to see your lifetime
Please,
moment.
Please, let's just break out, bust out, whatever alcoholic drink and ice cream you so desire.
I'm done. I'm all in. I'm all in. So Be Your Babies will be on Lifetime. Only Brave's out on October 20th. So go to your local theater and it's going to be everywhere. You're going to see it.
Epic.
And see this wonderful lady in there.
Thanks.
Jenny, it's great to meet you.
It was really nice meeting you.
You're great. You're just a light and bright.
Thanks.
We need that. We need more of that in the world.
Yes.
We do.
That's right.
We do. Now, if anybody wanted to follow you anywhere or see what's going on with you,
I have a Pinterest page.
Tell them what it is.
It's under Jenny Gabriel.
Okay.
But it's mostly just cute stuff I think is adorable and not really me much. But you can check out my IMDb. I have my reel up there.
Her reel is up there. I saw this one. It was like really long. I was watching.
I got some stuff.
So get some stuff in there. So go there. IMDb.
IMDb Jenny Gabriel with an L-E. At the end.
Yes, Ellie at the end.
Mm-hmm. Not the usual spelling.
I like it.
Yeah.
So, and you can follow us here at AfterBuzz TV. Of course, follow us on iTunes and YouTube and SoundCloud. Everywhere you can find the Spotlight On, she'll be there. And you can follow me at James Lott Jr., where all James Lott Jr.'s are sold. I'm all over the place. And her interview will be on my pages, so I'll be promoting her also on my pages. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.